This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Long look in. Doolittle is ready. One ball, one strike on Justin Turner. Here's the pitch. Swinging a fly ball shallow center. Racing on is Taylor. Closing on it. Dives. And he caught it. A diving catch ends the series. What a play by Michael Taylor. A diving catch, and the Nationals, for the first time in their history, will play in the National League Championship Series. They're celebrating on the pitcher's mound, jumping up and down. Michael Taylor getting surrounded near second base with a diving catch to close out the Dodgers. Final score, the Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3. The Nationals win the series 3-2, and it's on to St. Louis to play for the National League Championship.
Dave Jagler is heard on 106.7. The Nats last night. Attaboy Michael Taylor, apropos, right? Forced off the bench, injury to Victor Robles. The Nats lost two players to injury in this series, but they kept on coming. That axe kept being swung, and that tree fell down, finally. Maybe the camels at spring training practice were a year too soon?
I don't know, man.
But on a Wednesday, on hump day, they cleared the hump last night, didn't they?
It happened. And it happened against an incredible team. The backdrop of this whole thing,
that's the best,
is that
part.
The Dodgers are excellent. In L.A., they're calling it a choke job, and I'm sure when they do sports radio this morning, it's, you know, all the things that they did wrong and were bad. And listen, that group is excellent. They are awesome. If they play the series again, I don't know that the Nationals win it. I know this. To overcome that foe with so little room to maneuver, right? If a starter didn't have it in this series, for the Nationals, at any one of the games, you go, that's a loss. The Dodgers can overcome that. If Walker Buehler wasn't great last night, I know Clayton Kershaw gave up the homers, but Maeda's a starter. Kershaw could have helped you. They had infinite ways to do it, and everybody was healthy, rested, and ready to go. The Nationals are cobbling together a how the bleep do we do this every night, and they did it against the juggernaut. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Any kind of win would have been great, but last night's was perfect. It had everything. What I loved so much about the Caps run was that it had to be Pittsburgh and it had to be an overtime game. You kind of go through all the specifics, and it's almost as if some Hollywood director wrote a script, a cheesy script, by the way, where he kind of checks all the boxes on the way back through and he ties up every loose knot. That was last night for the Nationals. I just love sports, particularly when it's my team that wins.
Sure.
But you just, it's that drama and the storylines that you cannot make up. It was so good. Think about it, by the way. Juan Soto was 13 years old when Drew Storen couldn't throw those strikes against the Cardinals in 2012. That series, which weighs on all of us to this day,
sure,
and as you're watching last night, is one of the reasons for your angst and your anxiety, is irrelevant to him in every way. He probably doesn't even know that it happened. He was 13 years old in the Dominican Republic when that was going on. Let's go to Ronnie in D.C. on G&D. What's up, Ronnie?
What's up, guys? How y'all feeling today?
Tired, exhausted, cranky, but also overjoyed.
Running on fumes, and just these are the shows, honestly, that there's a lot of them you do after losses that stink, but this is why this job is the best.
It's unbelievable, right? I mean, just, you know, I was at Nats Park last night for the watch party, and, I mean, when Howie hit that grand slam, I at first was thinking, I don't know if he got enough, because that was a good pitch. I mean, that's an inside, you know, right inside black of the plate at 97 miles an hour, and he barrels it up, and I'm thinking, all right, Bellinger's going to catch it, Eaton's going to tag, we're going to be up a run. That ball just kept carrying and kept carrying. I'm literally grabbing the person next to me saying, I think that might get out, and when it finally gets out, I mean, the place erupted. Captain Obvious had probably the best vertical leap of the night after that. But I got to say, this team just refuses to lose. You look at the Brewers, we're down 3-1. You look at the Dodgers, we're down 3-0. This team is different than any other team. It's been the 2017, the 2016 team. This team's just different, and it's a different person every night. And I think it's because we have a lot of vets, a lot of professional hitters, and I think that gets lost. Look, Joe Kelly loads the bases. You start off Eaton with the great at bat. Then you have Rendon with the double, and then they intentionally walk Soto. Joe Kelly's thinking, well, I got to get through Howie Kendrick, and then Ryan Zimmerman has a lot of clutch hits in his career. All of that adds up, and pitchers think about that. And I would think that going forward, we're going to have the same hitters. The Cardinals are going to have the same problems.
They're going to have problems.
Thank you, buddy.
Look, this doesn't guarantee you anything. The Cardinals are good, too. It's not a great matchup. It's a team that more often than not in the regular season has handled you. You haven't played great against St. Louis. But as I said yesterday, on paper, the Dodgers should beat you. Let's roll the ball out and give this group a chance.
Uh-huh.
Because nothing has mattered about the paper and the analytics for this team all season long. Nothing has mattered. If Rendon, by the way, has not done enough to get whatever amount of money he wants, then it is just now proven and known that the Nationals do not believe in paying hitters basically franchise-altering contracts, right? I mean, there literally is nothing else he could have done this year to earn a contract.
Remember that slump he was in recently?
I don't.
Yeah, it seems like a long time ago now.
Seriously.
Just barreling balls.
If he doesn't get what he asks for, then it's just an organizational philosophy that nobody's going to. Harper couldn't, and Rendon couldn't, and maybe one day Soto won't be able to. I don't know. But there is nothing else. It's the equivalent of, like, you're in a relationship, and you want to get married, and, like, you have to prove these things to me. Like, years go by, and you just keep doing everything right, and it's like, this person just doesn't want to get married. He can't do any more to prove that he's worth your money. Let's go to Bethesda. Garrett's on the line. What's up?
Good morning, guys.
What's up, man?
I'm running on empty. I am so, so happy. I was up yesterday morning, 6 a.m., watching my beloved rugby team go to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. And I said to myself, this is going to be a good day. And I stuck with them till 12:35 last night.
That's a long sports day, my man.
Good sports day for you, sir.
It was a brilliant after Sunday's diabolical football and everything. My main point, I got loads, but main point is, when we win the World Series, should we sit Rendon down and just throw him the checkbook and say, put a figure on that?
Yeah, that's a good call. Well, after, if they get to and win the World Series, and thanks for the call, buddy, do you just hand him a blank check and say, whatever you want,
Here is a blank check, sir. Write down any number, and I will pay that.
Yeah, I'm focused on the Cardinals, game one. Call me Davey Martinez.
We're on to St. Louis.
I'm going to cliche this thing a little bit here, Belichick style. I got to win tomorrow. And I'm going to let everything else in the chips fall where they may. Was on with the Junks today. I talked about Strasburg probably opting out. Those things are going to have to sort themselves out.
In due time. Today's not the time.
I just want to, number one, soak up a win that I have longed for 8 seasons and 7 calendar years. And number two, I want to get ready for the Cardinals, man. I begged for one more game. One more night of this group. I love this team so much. It's how I felt about the Capitals for so many years. One team gets to win, and you know, because I've grown up in a city where until the Caps Cup run, none of my teams ever accomplished
Never
anything.
Never seen it, yeah.
I think I view things or think a little bit differently, and it's quote-unquote loser mentality. I don't expect championships. I don't even need championships. It'd be fun. I want them. But for me, it's about the enjoyment of the quality of the entertainment. Do you have a good process? Do you have a good culture? Do you not? The Nats do. The Caps do. I wanted another week with this group. I love baseball. I want to watch 3 hours of baseball 4 more times with these guys. And they gave me that gift. Like, I gave my dad a Beatles magazine for Christmas for 4 straight years when I was a kid. Jim in Silver Spring, how are you?
Grant and Danny. Unbelievable. I didn't get to sleep till 5, so please bear with me, man. But I got a great story to tell you. Yesterday I called my son up in Downingtown, PA, where he works. I'd taken him to the Strasburg debut back in 2010 when he was 14. So he was all in. I drove up to PJ Wheelahan's and was hoping to run into Bryce Harper, but of course that wasn't going to happen. But we watched the game. We fall behind 3-0. You know, Strauss is settling in. I say after the 3rd, 4th, and 5th innings, I just had this feeling that he had things under control. We scored the 1 run. James had to go home. I got in my car, started driving south. I pick up the game Charlie and Dave on 1500 somewhere around Oxford and the Mason-Dixon line. And Rendon and Soto hit home runs back-to-back. It was unbelievable. So I am so excited. I keep driving. I'm getting to the Baltimore Tunnel. Rendon is up after Eaton draws the walk in the top of the 10th. I know something's going to happen. I go into the tunnel. I can't wait to get through. I'm speeding at this point. I come out of the tunnel on the other end, and I hear Charlie and Dave saying, "And how the ball got to the wall when you had the..." I knew something had happened. I knew Rendon must have had an extra base hit. And then within a minute, Dave is calling a grand slam for Howie Kendrick.
And you're out of the tunnel. I hope you went 102 miles an hour through that tunnel.
Seriously.
You can't be in that tunnel when Howie Kendrick hits a bomb. You need to be listening to Dave Jagler. By the way, the call was perfect. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that call. 800-636-1067. What's cool is several years from now, assuming the Nats keep this run going and they keep winning, everyone's going to have a story like that of where they were when they broke through. You know, his is in his car listening to Jags, and there's going to be memories of where you were when Howie Kendrick did that thing that one time. 800-636-1067. Charlie Slows joins us in the 11:30 segment at the bottom of the hour. We're mowing through your phone calls, though. So much to get into. So many storylines still to unearth from last night's masterpiece for the Nationals. They're on to St. Louis for the NLCS tomorrow night. Division Series now behind them. Next stop, the Cardinals in the NLCS. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. This is a hilarious tweet. Kind of sad, too. Brian says, "I missed the worst game for a wedding," in parentheses. "The marriage lasted as long as Foltynewicz yesterday for the Braves," which is hilarious.
I remember years ago, I missed a Redskins game for my buddy's wedding. Same kind of joke. I was like, as long as the Redskins had a lead, it was as long as that marriage lasted.
Please don't get married and make people miss a game if you're just going to get divorced right afterwards. But anyway, he said, "It killed me. It absolutely killed me. For years that I missed the greatest moment in Nats history. Not anymore." Tip of the cap, Brian. What a tweet. Nathan says, "I knew the Nats were going to win when my wife was having contractions while in labor and delivery, and I'm watching the Dodgers slowly climb back over the fence in the ninth inning looking dejected." He's talking about when they all leaped onto the field when Will Smith flew out to right.
That's right.
Thinking he'd walked the Nationals off, and then they had to, like the Big Show stepping over the rope or Kane coming into the ring. They had to kind of lift their big feet up and climb back over the railing back into the dugout.
Got to go back in the dugout. That's where we belong.
We're going to go down there because there's more baseball being played. Speaking of which, if you had a baby, so like Dar is having a baby like any minute now. He's having a girl. I don't know, Kendrick, does that work as a girl name? But if you're Nathan, if you're having a boy, how's Howie sound? What about Juan?
You can go Howard.
Juan Wise. The guy's last name is Wise.
Or you could just go Kendrick.
Go middle name Soto? Do you go Anthony or do you go Tony?
There are options there. Patrick, because he had some big outs.
Patrick would
Tanner,
be
Tanner. Nice little role there. Right?
Acquired in the first ever Tanner for Tanner trade in Major League history.
May I recommend a Sean or a Daniel? Daniel's a little self-serving, if I may, but yeah, I like it.
It's a good, strong name, Daniel. Yeah. Let's go to Matt, who's in Vienna. What about Gerardo? That'd be a good name.
Yes, it would.
Gerardo. Matt, how are you?
Or a shark.
That's right.
Hey, guys, how sweet it is, huh?
Pretty strong.
Love it. Hey, I thought we had a chance. I was feeling pretty good after Stras settled down after the third run. You know, we got out of the second. It could have been worse. And he was really lights out for the next four innings. And I thought we were picking up momentum as he was mowing them down. I was feeling pretty good. 3-0. We're just a one swing and a bat away from tying the game at any point. So,
you've
but
seen
anyway,
it all
what
long
I called about,
guys.
Yeah, what I called about is that this what Mike Rizzo has done is just really incredible, and I just think that there's a work ethic there that this guy works day and night, and he has a staff that works day and night, and he really cares, and he's got drive and determination, like in contrast to our football team where. It seems hopeless, but nobody's doing anything about it.
Well, Matt, that's not true. Their culture is actually damn good, the Redskins.
Remember, damn good. Okay.
Bruce Allen said their culture is damn good. Now, I don't know what the Nationals is, but the Redskins is good. It's a good phone call. Appreciate it. Rizzo's terrific. I thought it was completely preposterous when people decided that he was the guy that was the reason why they were struggling early this year or that he had to go. But look, people all around baseball know how good he is, and organizations all around the sport know how quality what the Nationals do from a front office standpoint has been for years. Emma is in Round Hill. How are you, Emma?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great.
Pretty
thank
good.
You.
Colin, for a few things. One, I love that this was opposite of the Braves game. They lost it at the very beginning, and we just climbed and climbed and climbed and made it. Number two, I think our clubhouse is better without Bryce Harper. There's better morale overall, and obviously Parra helps in the dugout. But I think not having Harper there just really brings everyone up, and they're all kind of on the same playing field, and they're all loving each other and having a great time. And last but not least, Kolarik was warming up in the dugout, and Roberts had him warming up, then chose to not put him in, and they walked Soto, and I think that's what really sealed the deal with the Grand Slam. It wasn't just a three-run homer, because they could have come back from that, but the idea, the mental idea of having a Grand Slam against them with Kendrick just sealed the deal for us.
Emma, I want to tell you something. Everything you just said is correct.
Yeah.
Every word you just said is correct. Thank you for the call.
Dave Roberts last night, baffling. The fact that we didn't see Kenley Jansen until he was trying to protect the four-run deficit, I'll never really understand. He has a lot of tough questions to answer today. Chris in Hyattsville, what's good, dude?
Christopher.
Chris, you're up. What's up?
Okay. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, pal.
Oh, sorry. I'm trying to work and still recovering from last night at the same time. I just wanted to say that I think what should not be lost on this is the reason why we hired Davey Martinez and why the Nats moved on from Dusty Baker. He's proving out that decision was the correct one over and over again. From, you know, intentionally walking the bases, Muncy on base.
Tying run on base, yeah.
Right. Okay, that's something Dusty Baker would never have done. He's been swapping Doolittle and Hudson for matchups instead of roles, which is the right call. He's got Doolittle in there facing lefties and Hudson coming in the ninth, not the 10th, to face two tough righties. Also, I mean, I think, you know, the biggest thing we can say is sticking with Strasburg and not pitch hitting him early in the game when you had some runners on base, because he knew it was going to be a long game. So Martinez is proving Rizzo and the learners right.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, they've gotten farther than they ever got with not just Dusty Baker, but Matt Williams
anybody.
Or Davey Johnson or anybody else. And it's not to say that Davey Martinez has no flaws or that he's one of the best managers in baseball, but two things have to be said. Number one, he was the perfect fit for this clubhouse this year to get these guys rallied after 19 and 31. And number two, they wanted someone who believed more in the analytics and who would go outside the box with some of their ideas and not just kind of the traditions of baseball. They've got that guy. And Chris, I think, eloquently points out some of the ways that you've seen it come to fruition in these postseasons games now. But it has worked. Now, maybe it won't this series. It's not going to every time. But today's the kind of day where you just tip your cap, whether you like Martinez or you don't. I think it's getting harder and harder now not to. And you say, okay, I'll wear this one for today. If you're not a Dave Martinez fan, because he had a hell of a night and a huge series.
Yeah, you can just sit quietly for a little bit.
And you can scream again if they lose to the Cardinals
sure.
And Tanner Rainey looks bad next time he brings them in. Grant and Danny on the fan. Charlie Slows was in the booth last night on the call at Dodger Stadium. He's still out in L.A. He will join us next. We are taking your calls throughout the day on the fan.
Here's the pitch. He swings and belts one in deep right center field. Way back. Going, and gone. Goodbye. Halfway up the pavilion. A tremendous game. Tying home run by Juan Soto. And this game is all even. The Nationals dugout goes wild as Soto crosses the plate. He has tied this game. He drives in his second run of the night. It's his second home run of the series. And Dave Roberts on his way to the mound. The Nationals have hit back-to-back home runs off Kershaw. It's the Nationals 3 and the Dodgers 3 with nobody out here in the top of the 8th inning. And Kershaw is done.
The knockout blow to Clayton Kershaw. So classy after the game. Has no answers. but he stood there and tried to answer every tough question. Sorry about it, Clayton Kershaw. You were part of the pavement. The Nationals were the steamroller last night. Their berth in the NLCS is presented by PVI Office Furniture on the show today. Fast, excellent, and affordable business grows with PVI. Listen, throughout the postseason, and visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVI, PVI.com today. You just heard Charlie Slows on the call. He joins us from L.A. bright and early. Charlie, they did it. They have exorcised the demons. The Nationals are out of the division series and on to the NLCS.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? The game last night, I keep saying, is kind of a microcosm of the entire season. Down early, early hole, trying to fight out of it, trying to stay in it, and then coming back late. Steven Strasburg didn't have his great command early. He found it when he needed to and got the Nationals through six innings. The bullpen was great last night, and then they jumped on Kershaw after Kershaw got out of the seventh inning. Unbelievable home runs on consecutive pitches. I mean, Soto's was an absolute bomb. We were scratching our heads. You know, they went that way instead of Kolarik, who had gotten Soto out three times in the series in three tries. They didn't use him then. Kershaw's out of the game. Maeda was their best reliever. The Nats really couldn't touch him. He was out of the game quickly. And thank you very much. We were stunned when Jansen was warming up that Joe Kelly got up real quick and came into the ninth inning. Okay, bottom of the order, I get it, throwing all breaking balls. Didn't get it when Kelly came back for the 10th inning. I don't think neither did any of the 54,000 Dodger fans who were there. With Jansen standing in the bullpen, warm and ready to go until it was too late. If you're the Nats, thank you very much. They jumped all out of over that, took advantage of it. And Howie Kendrick, who had some bumps in that series in the field and on the bases, earlier in the game had a chance with the bases loaded to hit into a double play, made up for all of that with one big swing.
Charlie, even the most optimistic Nats fan would say that if this game script played out like they did against Milwaukee, this isn't Milwaukee they were playing. This is the Dodgers. This is a juggernaut, 106-win teams. Right? I really believe if they split the squad in half and had both teams compete, both teams would be good enough to be playoff teams. I mean, they are terrific. You get down the same way you got down against Milwaukee, the way the plan they had against Strasburg, working to get into the bullpen and everything else and not being able to take advantage of base runners against Walker Buehler. I really thought this was, you know, just one of those, man, you tip your cap, the Dodgers are that great. But this team finds a way. I know no real question in there. It's just a marvel to me that it happened the way that it did.
Yeah, I mean, you're thinking about, okay, they put Kike Hernandez in the lineup. Dave and I didn't like that because this guy's been a clutch performer in the postseason for the Dodgers. And, you know, Davey Martinez, vivid memories of what he did against the Cubs in the NLCS a few years ago when he was co-MVP of that series with Justin Turner. He makes that miraculous diving catch in left field, spinning all the way around on a ball that was hit really well. And you had, you know, Bellinger leaping into the fence to make a catch. When balls the Nationals hit really well, they're making great plays, and they're already up 3-0. So you're starting to think, well, maybe there's nothing you can do here because this is how good the Dodgers are and how they played all year. But, you know, credit the Nats for hanging in there. And then when they had the chance, you know, they took it by the throat.
Charlie Slows on Grant and Danny. What can we say about Juan Soto, the number of big hits at 20 years old already that he's delivered in what was a 6 playoff game start so far going into the NLCS? I mean, he might already have 2 or 3 of the biggest playoff swings of the 10 ever in Nationals history.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought right there, Grant. You know, then you have to go back and say, okay, won't be 21 until sometime later in October, what he's accomplished already and be able to make adjustments at bat, pitch to pitch sometimes within an at bat, really understands what pitchers are trying to do to him. And, I don't know how much more you can say with what he's accomplished at this early stage. You know, kind of echo what Mike Rizzo said in our post-game celebration clubhouse interview. Last night, the National stars were stars, superstars in the moments they needed to be.
Yeah, and kudos to you guys, by the way, getting some great sound. That interview with Rizzo was awesome, was must-listen Radio. And this is Charlie Slows talking to us. And when the Nationals play, you'll hear Charlie Slows right here on 106.7 The Fan.
And he's going to call a National League Championship Series game for the first time in his life tomorrow night.
We had to confirm those details, Charlie, but yes, it is. It's true. Have you looked ahead at all to the St. Louis Cardinals? I mean, this is a group that honestly reminds me of the Nationals a little bit. Maybe better than the sum of their parts, punching above their weight class a little bit. This is a formidable opponent as well.
Yeah, they're not easy to beat in their home park. It's not a place where the Nationals have played well over the years, but neither was Dodger Stadium, and they won twice in that series. They were a team that was on the outside looking in most of the year in that National League Central. It was the Brewers early, and then the Cubs were holding the division for quite a long stretch. And, you know, the Cardinals were the hot team in September that knocked everybody else off and snuck in there to hold on and then win the division. So, yeah, I think Ozuna had a great year for them. Goldschmidt is a big bat for them. And then a lot of role players, we call them Tommy Baseball so far from what we've seen. Tommy Edman is this guy who can play multiple positions for them and has really had some clutch hits for them. And they'll play him either in the outfield or third base or even at second base if they want to play him against a lefty and sit Colton Wong. So, yeah, they have some versatility. They have some big arms in the bullpen. You got Wainwright probably starting game one with all his experience, and Jack Flaherty, who pitched yesterday, and Dakota Hudson. They've got a decent rotation. And then, you know, Andrew Miller, maybe not the Andrew Miller of a few years ago, but still with that big breaking ball out of the bullpen. Carlos Martinez, though, closing has been kind of a wild card. So I wouldn't say they have a completely locked down bullpen. So, you know, these teams probably are pretty even going into this series.
They are. I'll say this. The Cardinals aren't as good as the Dodgers were, and we saw how that went. Now, that doesn't mean the Nats beat St. Louis. They got their work cut out for them. But you just played the best team you'll play before the World Series if you were to get there. Charlie Slows, yeah. Dave Jagler's pregame show tomorrow night starts at 7:30 or so right here on 106.7. The Fan first pitch is going to be set for just after 8 o'clock. Charlie, eat something delicious in L.A. Fly back with a couple wins from St. Louis eventually, okay?
That's the plan.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
You imagine, by the way, if the Nationals go to St. Louis, win a couple times, and then they come back for game three on Monday up 2-0 in the NLCS, what that ballpark will be like? I don't think we'll have to worry about not selling out again
these
playoffs.
We could just not discuss it again. You know what I mean? I think it'll be all set.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Back to your thoughts at 800-636-1067 as we continue what will be a four-hour installment today of 106.7 The Nats. We do have Carl Hagelin at 12:45 from the Caps and Sean Doolittle. He got the final outs last night live with us on the phone at 1:30 today right here on The Fan. Sean Doolittle's on the show at 1:30. I've been told we'll have Dave Martinez with us tomorrow ahead of game one of the NLCS. From St. Louis. Nats are flying today, so the schedule I was told was basically they're getting on the bird sometime around maybe 4 o'clock, and then they will fly out to St. Louis to get ready for media night, which is this evening. They got to do a bunch of interviews. It's that quirky thing they did right before game one of the Dodgers where they were flat. I almost wish they would have flown out first thing this morning, got out there and slept all day, but they got sleep doctors and people who know better than I do, so do whatever you've been doing. Because they've been good on the road most of this year. Here's a team that's all in on the Nats, by the way, the Capitals. We're going to talk to Carl Hagelin today at 12:45.
Love that.
The shame of it, little insider baseball, is we actually taped with Hags yesterday because of their schedule today. So we didn't really get to ask him about all the things they've been doing to paint the team. Nationals, and they all wore Nats jersey shirts and T-shirts with their suits getting on the plane yesterday, which was great.
Very cool.
This is the only thing I'll mention about the Redskins today on the show, okay? I'm not going to be acknowledging them other than this. You realize the Nats yesterday put something very nice out about the Capitals. The vice versa. The Capitals put something very nice out about the Nationals. The Wizards did the same. The Mystics, who are playing a championship game tonight, did this. I noticed that the Redskins did not say anything about the Nats yesterday. Now, not a big deal. I'm not the kind of guy that like cares when a player likes a post or people are like, oh, Dwayne Haskins liked something about Jay Gruden getting fired.
On Instagram.
Cool, I guess. I don't really care about that. I use like as like a bookmark to save things I want to go back to. even if he liked it because he's happy he got fired.
Yeah, I don't like a story about the Redskins being a disaster.
Right.
I favored it so I can go back and read it.
But even still, if he was liking it because he's happy that it happened, unless he says something, his like actions on social media, I don't really play that game. For some reason, though, it rubbed me the wrong way that yesterday the Redskins didn't just put out a quick 10-second tweet saying good luck to the Nationals.
And listen, it's not as if Bruce Allen is like purposely running the Twitter account and not doing it. It's some, you know, intern until they screw up or whatever, right? But still, it's just, it's the look. We know what the reputation is. We know the reports. We know the idea that they're sitting there stewing that other teams are good and they stink.
Let's go to Bill in D.C. on the Fan. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Great.
Man?
Hope you appreciate this coming from an elder statesman. 50 years ago, as a snot-nosed kid, I was able to get into RFK to watch the Frank Howard hit a home run in the All-Star game. I saved the picture from the Washington Post the next day, a big color picture, and got it autographed 10 years later. But this morning, picking up this newspaper and looking at Howie, that finally trumps that picture. I mean, it just, you don't know the feelings. That Howard picture was something, my prized possession. But after watching the home run last night and seeing this picture, I think after 50 years, that picture has been trumped.
Wow.
Appreciate you, dude.
Great call. Really good story. Love it. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, you can frame this Howie Kendrick picture on the Washington Post. Nothing above it on the fold. Just right there at the top of the page, you could put this on a frame and put it on a wall. Don't have to worry about that. Joey and Reston, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing, Grant? Hi, Danny.
Buddy.
I just wanted to take a quick opportunity to thank the two of you as a lifelong DC sports fan that sat through many misery Mondays and disappointment next days. It's just so nice to sit and relish to listen to the two of you. We're not only baseball guys but big fans of the Nats. So thank you for doing this today. It's really great to have DC radio, sports radio, be a day like today. So thank you.
Appreciate you. That's nice of you to say
that. Easy to do, man.
Yeah, no, I mean it. And secondly, I just wanted to bring up key move I felt this season was back in May when everyone was sort of calling for Davey Martinez's head. Mike Rizzo actually made a move and got rid of Derek Lilliquist and brought up Paul Menhart. And at that time, people kind of chalked it up as just a move to make a move. But what a difference it's made for this team. And while the pitching hasn't been perfect the second half of the season, especially the bullpen, they've been a hell of a lot better.
It's a great call.
Totally true.
1 minute.
Totally true.
Spent with any person on the pitching staff with any truth serum will tell you everything you need to know about this pitching change. And the pitching coach, Paul Menhart from Derek Lilliquist. It's not to vilify him. You know, he put some work in and he meant well for this organization for a season and change. But Menhart was a godsend and it was a great change. I think it's an excellent phone call. It's not something I would have thought of to bring up today, but it's a big reason why they are here. Ned's in Vienna on the Fan. Ned, welcome to the NLCS. What's up?
Grant and Danny, good to talk with you. Danny, go Bulldogs.
Sir?
In 1924, the Washington Senators won their last World Series against the New York Giants. In 1925, they lost the World Series to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then in 1933, they lost the World Series. The New York Giants took their revenge. It's nice to have winning on the field. I want to talk about three guys because I think it's really a team effort. The first guy is Patrick Corbin. He came back strong, sort of lost in all of it. We're going to need him. We're going to count on him. Second is Michael A. Taylor. He was sent down to the minor league. He came back. He made the great catch to end the series. He wasn't so great at the plate yesterday, but he was in the game before. And then finally, Danny, you'll know this as a baseball player, playing catcher is tougher than all the other positions on the field combined.
Without question.
And Kurt Suzuki takes a ball off him and it hits him in the face. And you're thinking, oh, my God. I love that Kurt Suzuki. He and Ryan Zimmerman are the only two left over from that club 7 years ago. And Kurt Suzuki's been away, and now he's back. And Ryan Zimmerman's been here the whole time.
So, it's a great call.
Appreciate
it's a great
you,
point. Appreciate you, pal. I hope Suzuki's okay. He mentioned Michael Taylor in that call. You got yourself a little bit of a budding center field discussion here now. Look, Victor Robles was incredible this year, and I have full faith in him. He makes things happen with his speed. He lays down beautiful bunts. He gets on base plenty because he gets hit all the time. But Michael Taylor responded really well. So you got two choices if you're Dave Martinez, assuming Robles is healthy enough to start the NLCS. You can keep him on the bench and let Taylor roll and just go with the quote-unquote hot hand. And you have Robles' game-changing speed on the pine, which is awesome for the late innings. Or you can go back to the guy that got you there that didn't do anything wrong, who in fact had a pretty good game when he got hurt.
And you can feel comfortable doing some double switches. If you've got a lead, you can you know, remove Soto if you need
to. I think that's the biggest discussion going forward.
Yeah.
Because I'm set on the right side. Like, people can tell me all they want to, you can't play Howie because of the defense. Those were fluke mirages. Three errors in a series, while bad, doesn't really happen. That's not who he is. And again, I need his bat in the lineup. I have to have his bat.
Without question.
So you put him at second, and I think Zim plays particularly against any left-handers, but I would say, for the time being, Zim's your first baseman.
Looks that way, right? I mean,
what would you do? I would put Zim at first, Howie at second.
Let's take an argument. You love a matchup. Let's say Cabrera's got great numbers against Hudson or something like that, Dakota Hudson.
Yeah.
Maybe you go a Kendrick game at first and Cabrera at second.
I'm not saying
you
can't play Cabrera, but you have to have a starting lineup, theoretically. And for me now, it's Zim at first and Kendrick at second.
And that's mine. And just a quick data point. I looked up from the previous caller some pitching stats, right? Just sort of Nationals team pitching stats. Anecdotal, some names change and you move on from guys like Bearclaw, Rosenthal, et cetera. But April and March, team ERA of 5. In May, as Menhart takes over before he's got influence, high fours. ERA the next several months, 3.85, 3.69, barely over 4, barely over 4.
Mm.
It's an impact. It happened.
Trevor Rosenthal and Kyle Bearclaw. Those seem like distant memories, huh?
There were two guys who liked both those signings. Remember who they were?
They're in this studio right now.
Right here. They're both a little sweaty.
They're getting ready to cover an NLCS ball club over the next few days. Looking forward to the 5 p.m. flight, coughing my way through that flight.
My man.
Give me a throat lozenge and let's roll. Let's ride. Davey Martinez is on the show tomorrow. Sean Doolittle today. Painting this thing red. The Beltway Blitz is next, and then more fellowship with you guys on the phones next hour. G&D on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.